Hey, it's Darius Davis, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined, of course, as you can see, or as you can hear, if you're listening on the podcast feed, which really, really most of you do, by Cody Carpentier. You can find him, of course, Carpentier NFL.
Carpentier NFL, or wait, Cody Carpentier, right?
Changed to, it's Cody Carpentier now, yeah, changed it. Luke McCaffrey, okay, so wide receiver from Rice, obviously the brother to Christian McCaffrey, the son of Ed McCaffrey, played at Rice for the last two seasons, started out his career at Nebraska, was a four-star quarterback prospect, dual-threat quarterback prospect going to Nebraska after a couple of seasons really not doing much at all at Nebraska and competing with Adrian Martinez at the time. He ended up leaving, looking for another school. He ended up actually going to Louisville for about a week or two before realizing that he wasn't going to be that competitive with Malik Cunningham at quarterback. So he goes to Rice, where again he tries to become the starting quarterback for Rice. There was a conversation he had with one of the coaches, and basically he came to them and said, I want to change to receiver. And this is a thing that was conversed, I guess, in the McCaffrey household about switching positions. But they said they were always going to leave it up to Luke and let Luke make that decision on his own. He made that decision just about 2 years ago, and it was for the better. So he's only really been playing the wide receiver position full time for just about the past couple of seasons. And just in the past couple of seasons alone, he's got over 1,700 receiving yards, 129 receptions, 19 touchdowns at Rice. He comes in about 6 foot, 295 pounds unofficially. He'll be about 23 right when the draft happens. I have him projected for about a 4.59 40-yard dash, so not overly fast, but also not completely slow and out of the conversation at all. His market share over the 2023 season, he had 45% of the team's touchdowns, 30% of the team's receiving yards, and 26% of the team's receptions. I think he utilizes his footwork at the line of scrimmage to create separation. I think that's one of his better skills. He shows late hands downfield. One of the compliments he got from a JT Daniels, who was the quarterback for him at Rice, was from being of course, he was a quarterback in high school, and then again a quarterback for, you know, better part of three seasons in college.
Was JT Daniels, who's going to go on to be he's a bad quarterback, but he'll be a good coach. He has a good mind for the game.
Yeah. So JT Daniels basically complimented Luke McCaffrey's ability because he's a very new wide receiver. He's not going to be a higher ranked guy this year. He's more of a prospect, a project than anything. I think when it gets down to the nitty gritty in his write up, what I wrote was the best case scenario for a guy like McCaffrey.
What was Daniels' compliment for him again?
I'm going to get there, but the best case scenario for him is to get into an offense kind of similar to what Adam Thielen did when he came to the Minnesota Vikings, and he just was playing special teams for a couple of years and kind of blossomed into a receiver at the higher end and got the opportunities. But the thing that Daniel said was that has advanced him so far so quickly at the receiver position, again, 1,700 yards in two seasons, was that he knows where the ball is going to be without the ball being there, and he knows the quarterback can't see where he's throwing. So he knows all the nuances that the quarterback's looking for that has helped him and Daniel's connection quickly connect over the last 2 years. And that's really what I guess Daniel's alluded to his success. Again, two seasons. He had two receptions in his career at Nebraska, but he was the full-time quarterback there up until 2022. And again, over the last 2 years, 129 receptions. As a quarterback in high school, McCaffrey had a 4.6, 440-yard dash. He played for his dad, Ed, as a senior. Ed was not the head coach for the majority of the time. The head coach sat down. And then Ed, of course, the receiver for the Denver Broncos, one of John Elway's favorite targets and often complimented as one of the better run-blocking receivers in all of football at the time, was his head coach his senior season in high school. He's not an elite athlete like his brother Christian, but he's built with pure grit. Like, that's what he is. He's just a gritty receiver. You'll never see his feet stop moving after the catch. He does exhibit a lot of surface area when he's running at the catch with the football in his hand. Again, lacks speed downfield. ability to separate from defenders and man at the top of routes. I think that those are key things that he just needs to grow and learn and earn in the NFL. I like his contested catchability. I think he's got a decently established route tree with patience and nuance throughout. And my comp for him was Khalil Shakir, who's a guy that I thought ran. Again, my comps always come from a play style comparable type of a situation. So, again, like I mentioned before, the situation I think best fits him is going to a place where he can sit for a couple of years, do special teams, be the fifth or sixth guy in the option, and just hang on to the roster, and then we'll see what happens after that. But he also did have a couple of other brothers that didn't quite pan out in the NFL as well. But Luke McCaffrey, I think he's a fine receiver, but it's going to take a little bit of time before we see anything from him at the next level.
Man, it was so funny, Cody, is you know that these scouts, and we talked to these scouts and stuff at the Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl. By the way, I guess we should have probably started with that, but the show started goofy, so I had to just throw it to you. I had the YouTube link pulled up because you and I were talking about the title and stuff. So when we started, it was going on loop in the background. But Cody will be at the Cody and Trashman at the Shrine Bowl. Right, Cody Trashman, Byron, yep. Shrine Bowl, and then I will meet up with Cody in Atlanta. Cody will fly to Atlanta, and then we'll go to the Senior Bowl, and then we've also made our combine plans. So your boys are doing everything we can to get you all the information that we can. Just as always, we'll get the Pro Day Tour up and going. Before you know it, we'll be getting ready for rookie mini camps and OTAs, and then of course the Epic Training Camp Tour. So thanks to everybody who subscribes and follows along here, man. Every listener, every subscriber. All you guys really matter a lot. So it really would help us out if you could like the show, subscribe to the channel. And if you're listening on the podcast, man, if you could just rate their podcast, give us a good review. We're going to be bringing this content bigger and better than ever this year. The funniest thing, Cody, to me is that whenever I was watching, because you know my main exposure to McCaffrey this year was watching him in the Rice game versus Texas and getting ready for that. And of course that was the first game of the season. And so, that's one where, you know, you're watching that team close, you're starting to geek out about football again, and you want to watch the other players, even if it's just Rice, right? And, you know, you saw McCaffrey. I don't even remember what he did in that game. I don't remember being a huge factor. I'm not sure if you know it off the top
just,
of your head.
Just the one catch that I remembered offhand was the one he came across the middle, and the game was out of hand at that point, but he caught a touchdown at the goal line and took a hit from Taft. And Taft lit him up at the goal line. That was the only play that really stuck out to me and off of mind in that Texas game. But he was – I mean, he's clearly the best receiver in this football team. And
I mean, one of the best players. I mean
– yeah. He's not great by any means, but he's just a gritty, hardworking. He's big enough, 6'2", 200 pounds. He's not super athletic. He's just one of those
dudes.
What's
crazy is, man, it's like I remember thinking to myself watching that game, I was like, man, he looks like a – you look at him and you think to yourself, this is just a little shifty kind of Braxton Berrios type of, you know what I mean? Type of, yep. I hate to say it, but you know, your lunch pail, you know, your coach on the field, gritty gym rat, whatever word you want to use for him. But, you know, I was thinking to myself, dude, if he was standing next to Christian McCaffrey, he'd probably he'd probably look bigger than him. You know, I mean, certainly, you know what I mean? Certainly as far as is Luke McCaffrey listed as 6'2"?
He's 3 inches taller than Christian technically. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, probably only about 5 pounds less than McCaffrey was because McCaffrey was 201 whenever he came in the league. So, Luke could turn out to be a bigger dude, but like you said, not quite as athletic. Even despite the fact that he would seem to have that size to play outside at 6'2". Looks like, you know, what, 3/4 of his snaps last season came from out of the slot. So they liked his ability to use his shiftiness. Cody talked about the change of direction, the real-time understanding of the route tree through the quarterback's eyes. Just a smart, good player, not quite as athletic as Christian McCaffrey. But I honestly think that growing up with an NFL wide receiver dad, you're just immersed in this stuff. Not everything's going to translate, right? Not every athlete's kids are going to be, just like they were. But I think that we've seen from the McCaffreys, whatever stock that whatever stock that comes from the mom side of the family is probably pretty good too, to deliver to like Christian McCaffrey. And you know, whenever you just take all those recipes and put it together, man, the nature and the nurture of it all, especially on the nurture side with the wide receivers, with the dad, like Easy Ed. I mean, I think he's a dude who could, you could easily pop up and see being a, you know, beneficial for you in fantasy at some point. And what do you think, Cody, just early? I mean, I haven't done any rookie drafts yet. I think you'd be kind of crazy to do one right now, but I don't even trust the current ADPs that people do, because all it is mock draft ADP. But I would say that, you know, just depending on, you know, if he's a guy that has a good Senior Bowl and stuff like that, he probably, or wait, Shrine, he's Shrine, right?
He's senior. All these guys are
senior. Oh, he's today. Senior Bowl. Okay. Yeah. So I think because this is a Senior Bowl preview. If he does well at the Senior Bowl and shows out, and dude, he's the kind of guy who does. We always talk about these two-way go change of direction guys, right? He shows out there, we'd be looking at a dude that, you know, in traditional non-superflex rookie leagues, you could see end up going in the mid-third round of stuff like that, with room to move up if he tests well at the combine, certainly better than we would have expected. So I think McCaffrey's interesting. All these guys this week, except for the guy that I did, I think are interesting. Do you have anything else on McCaffrey, or do you want me to talk about Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint?
No, I kind of feel the same way when you're looking at those rookie drafts. I think it's going to end up being really just what the Senior Bowl looks like, and really just kind of where he lands and what the archetype of the situation looks like. But I think that mid-third round is probably about as high as you're going to have to worry about getting him, I think, depending on the situation. But I do think it's a guy long-term that I'd like to at least keep my eyes on as the season year, because, again, he's got the family heritage he's coming from. He's got the grit. He's got all the stuff you want to build into a guy 2-3 years down the line. So
it's like Mike Tomlin says, man, you just kind of want to take Watts, you know, like, yep. I just kind of want to take McCaffrey's, you know what I mean? Let's see. So Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint, he's from Georgia. And, you know, if you weren't super familiar with him, you know, it's probably because he's, For me, whenever I watched him, I thought to myself, this is a good player, but certainly a dude who, whenever you watch, you know, even when you're trying to watch this dude and kind of put him in a microscope, your eyes just go to the dudes who move better. They go to Brock Bowers, right? They go to Ladd McConkey. Just these guys just move a whole lot better than Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint. He's 6'2", 195. He's one of these guys that we can't get an age on. So one of the things that we need to remember, Cody, and this is probably something we need to talk about on the podcast, but I'll forget it. And so you and I are talking here. So, but at the Senior Bowl, whenever we're getting the interviews and doing this stuff, we need to make a list of guys who we don't have birthdays on. So we can get those birthdays. Jack Saint will be one of those guys. As far as, you know, puny production profile within the context of his offense this last season, what was it? 10% of receptions, 13% of receiving yards, 14% of receiving touchdowns for 12% total production percentage. As a high school prospect, he was class of 2020. He was, depending on where you looked, as far as the services, he was a high 4-star everywhere. He wasn't a 5-star anywhere, but across all of them, he was a high 4-star. I think on Rivals, he was the highest 4-star you can get before getting to 5-star, number 72 player overall in the nation. So they only give out 32 5-stars on Rivals. So, you know, he was just right there on the cusp. Rivals 100, and if you look at the 247 averages, he was, you know, that was right in line with what everybody had him on. He was out of St. Thomas Aquinas, so a lot of eyeballs on that school, and kind of doing the studying up on him. Like, I wanted to love him. He's got a pretty awesome story. Well, he did have some off fields. These Georgia guys have all, I mean. There was some off-field stuff with some of the car racing. I don't think it had to do with the same – didn't have to do with the same thing with, you know, the bad incident. But a couple of those guys have had car racing stuff since then, allegedly. So he's apologized for that, and it feels like it's water under the bridge there with him and that program and fan base. But outside of that, really good story growing up. Well, I maybe kind of sad. He, like, I guess he lost his mom when he was real young, and kind of his dad wandered out of his life. And it was like these, his football coach and his wife that took him in and stuff. Like he grew up with football being his kind of like, that was his life and his ticket. His dad's the coach and all the rest. And so he's another dude who grew up really, really immersed in it. And when you look at him, he's a really good looking, lanky, just really good frame, just a good looking ex wide receiver prospect. He looks good. You can tell why he was a high 4-star whenever he showed up at these camps, why people are like, oh, whoa, this dude's going to be something, you know? If you watch 2022, he was horrible in contested catch situations though. Just horrible. I didn't look up what the win rate was for on PFF but I know it had to be really bad. That improved to 64% as far as his contested catch win rate in 2023 per PFF. Also, no drops last year. He's a dude who, if you watch, just you know, you watch back the targets from various games, you can see that at times he has the ability to make acrobatic catches. He's one of these. Do you remember Brian Quick, Cody? Brian Quick's the one I'll always think of. You know, kind of like the OBJ. Like he's one of these guys who can contort. You know, make weird catches at times. He's got that natural sort of. He has a freaky ability to him, right? You don't get that highly recruited. You don't go to Georgia. You don't get on the football field there. You don't be a dude who they talk about. It's like, well, how are we going to place Rosemead Jackson next year? There are those articles up right now, right? To me, it's. To me, though, it doesn't seem like he's a, you know, I feel like what you need to replace with him is a dude that hasn't really lived up to his entire potential just yet. A player who doesn't necessarily run great routes, a player who has been very iffy, but at least he improved this last year in his contested catch spots. A guy who is not much, you know. As far as the other thing that you really like, I did notice that he is a really good weapon versus two high looks with the deep dig and the dagger routes. Like that, I feel like that's his best route. That's his superpower. He's really good at knowing when those safeties are going to break, cut in, get in front of them, get his body in front. That's the way that he kind of has the my ball mentality is in those kind of spots. So versus those two high looks, those deep daggers, he's good with those. That's why my comparison for him was Des Fitzpatrick, who I noticed that was sort of one of his superpowers during his time at Louisville. Of course, we have not seen that yet. I don't even know where Des Fitzpatrick – does he still play for the Titans?
I think he's in like – yeah, I think he's deep in the Titans.
Yeah, okay. So – but the negatives
Steelers.
Aren't
– Steelers.
Steelers? Okay. Yep. So he's bouncing around. He never broke out in his college career. He's just had very meager production. He does not have game-breaking speed. He doesn't have a great top gear. He doesn't really have great acceleration. That's the other thing I noticed. I'm like, man, a lot of times these defenders gave Rosemead Jackson a whole lot of cushion. You know, sometimes Cody, we see these guys and they use that cushion to change gears, to stack opposing corners, stuff like that. He doesn't do any of this stuff. It's almost like he doesn't give himself a chance. And it's rough because he doesn't have that gear to explode by them. Right. And finally, I just say he's not much of an asset after catch. You know, if he's in traffic, he's just not much of a tackle breaker. You know, to me, it's like I just looked at him and I thought maybe Des Fitzpatrick, maybe who was it? Antoine Green. He kind of reminds me a little bit of that from last year. Outside guy, not much after catch, dependable in certain spots. I like him on the deep digs, the stuff like this, but probably not somebody that I'm going to be too interested in. I don't think in traditional rookie drafts coming up, yeah. But. As always, man, I want to always say that go to the Senior Bowl. This guy blows you away, and there's stuff that we missed. You know, there's just going to be stuff that we missed. And my record is saying he does look like a freaky athlete that's had flashes of really, really cool stuff. I just don't know how consistent it's been. I will note that there are some people that said he did have a season-ending ankle injury in 2021. There were people saying that, you know, he was on a coming out of that camp, he was on a real on the real upswing. And so we know how that can go. It's like you get off to a slow 2022, have a mediocre 2023. It's like you can think back to that 2021 season-ending injury and say, man, that's where it kind of got off the rails. A lot of those guys get that hard reset of the NFL process, and it really does help them to kind of flip a switch. So I'll be hoping to see that out of Rosemy Jack-Saint, but I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about him.
That was one thing that I definitely came away with was I just wrote he had gnarly lower leg injury during his freshman season. Kind of reminded me of the Michael Wilson stuff from last year where Wilson had a couple of injuries that kind of derailed the early part of his career. He came back in the season opener in 2021, was banged up again week two, never recovered, never crested 100 yards in his career. But again, he's playing with Adnai, he's playing with Pickens, he's playing with Brock Bowers, McConkey over the last three seasons. But this year he had three games over 90 yards. Reminded me that we haven't even talked about this together, but reminded me of the same guy, Dez Fitzpatrick from Louisville, that he had a physical.
I didn't remember writing that in the comp thing. Yeah. Did you write that in there?
I wrote that one in there.
Can you believe we both came up with Dez Fitzpatrick?
That's what I'm saying. That's we didn't even talk about it, and we're on the same guy, which tells you kind of how we feel about this guy. But and Fitzpatrick has flashes as well as Jack-Saint did. And I think the physical prototypical big body with the red zone upside, but I think he lacks separation ability. Like you said, not a tackle breaker, lacks nimbleness. I think he's a dependable pass catcher, but with no drops this season. But just two out of 105 targets in his career. What did I have here? Just two drops out of 105 targets in his career and was a top contested receiver in the SEC per PFF. I kind of came up with like a sixth round grade on him.
Can we look and see where he was in PFF in 2022 with this? Here, I'll just look it up right now. I know he improved.
35% to 64%.
That was massive improvement. I told you it was. I can't believe people aren't going to believe that we both picked Dez Fitzpatrick.
That's super random. That's super
really weird, dude.
Okay. But I feel fine. But the thing is like he's wearing that number one out there for Georgia, and your instant thought is like Pickens just wore that, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to view him in a different term of Pickens, and you can see some of the same things. And I guess my takeaway when you're saying you read some articles about them saying we're trying to replace him, you know, he's going to be this thing. It's like, I can definitely see that where, you know, his career started off and then all of a sudden the injury happens. And then now you can see, you know, 43, 45 targets. This offense really isn't.
So what I said earlier was the injury was in 2021, but you're saying that was 2020. I think I might've wrote that down wrong. So it was 2020 injury, but then he gets banged up again in 2021 was the bad injury.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So, but my thing is that this offense isn't built to give these guys 90, 100, 110 targets, right? To make them look like this massive thing. It's like, if you did extrapolate him, give him 90 targets, we're talking about a guy that's near 1,000 yards. So, it's just the nature of the offense. You're not going to get the big numbers. I think he's interesting. I think that the Dez Fitzpatrick thing is probably about where he should be. George Pickens, what I'm trying to get at with the George Pickens thing is, both these guys were number one in Georgia, and they're trying to fill in that role.
He's nothing like George Pickens.
Correct, 100%. And what I'm saying is, like, that's the role that they're trying to fill. That's what I think in that article you read, where they're like, we're trying to fill in, we're trying to find somewhere to play this Jack-Saint role. It's like more so they're trying to find someone to play the Pickens role and then the Jack-Saint role. And that's just the spot where this guy just happens to be at. It's not about him being like this Pickens type of a player.
Huge shoes to fill. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more about just having shoes to fill and him being competent at the job at Georgia and being a good receiver. But like you said, I think that's what the Senior Bowl can do for us is take him out of that situation, put him in this new situation. His quarterback was good at Georgia, but put him in this new situation with a bunch of new quarterbacks, a bunch of other competitive receivers. Not a lot of guys that are really his size other than maybe Brendan Rice and Xavier Leggett at the Senior Bowl. But it'll be interesting to see how this guy competes against these other guys.
Yeah, man. We'll see. And this thing always gets rejumbled after we get out of Mobile. So who knows? He could be the biggest riser for us at the whole place. Like, that's the funnest part, man, about the Senior Bowl. It's like, you know, like Byron always used to say, man, it's, you get there, it's like Christmas for us. I mean, you just get to open all these presents and you never know what you're going to get. All right. So what do you got on
Roman?
What do you got on my guy, Roman Wilson?
Roman Wilson, baby. Roman Wilson. This one excited me. I watched this film for like a couple hours on Monday night, and I watched it for a couple more hours yesterday morning. I just couldn't stop because I enjoyed it so much. Roman's 6 foot tall, about 192 pounds unofficially, 22 and a half years old. I think he's going to run about a 4.43. That's kind of what I'm projecting right now. He broke out this senior season at Michigan. Again, kind of a similar offense to how Georgia operates. It's not going to give you these big, big, hairy outputs as far as the receiving numbers go. He went to high school in Honolulu, Hawaii, went to St. Louis. He actually played in the Polynesian Bowl coming out of high school, played with Roma Dunze during that. One interesting thing about him is that during his freshman season, he was actually going to school on the Big Island in Oahu, and he lived in Maui. So he flew to school his freshman season while he was in high school. He had opportunity to go to UCLA, Cal, Oregon, but he said when he stepped foot on Ann Arbor, on Michigan's campus, he felt at home, and that's where he eventually would win all Big Ten second-team honors, tally up nearly a 1,900 all-purpose yards at Michigan. He's a different receiver in the sense that he's not a prototypical alpha. He's not a little tiny slot target magnet. He's not a big-bodied red zone target. He doesn't even fit the archetype. He's not even 200 pounds at 6 foot. He's about 189, 192 pounds is what they kind of marked him at, but he ran a career best 10.68 100 meter dash, won the state championship in Hawaii. It's a different body type. It's a different guy. He played 44 games at Michigan, only five games with five or more receptions, scored multiple touchdowns and 100 yards a couple times. But it wasn't this big boom output you were looking for. His best comparable is tough for me, and a lot of people are going to hate this, and I hate giving guys good comps, big name hairy comps. But coming out, you remember Amon-Ra St. Brown was not a first or a second or a third round draft pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown was sitting there in the fourth round. So Amon-Ra St. Brown light is kind of what I tabbed him as because it was a tough one for me. I think he has the gait kind of similar to a Jackson Smith and Jigba, the playing style of an Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he has an innate ability to create multiple yards of separation on shallow outs, whip routes. I think he has strong, focused hands. He's got a great third gear that kind of eliminate defenders' angles. 38 of 48 receptions were for first downs last year. I think he showed growth in alignment, flexibility, dropping from 90% in the slot to 68% in the slot in 2023. I do think he kind of lacks a little bit of suddenness. Could get more polished as a route runner. Again, he only finished with five games of five or more receptions and 44 during his time there. His frame kind of lacks some upper body density that you'd like to see. And I think that's kind of where I come away with he's not quite the archetype. The archetype I'm thinking of is more in line with the Jacksons, the Jamar Chases, the Odell Beckhams, those 200 pound guys that have a little more thickness throughout their entire build. I don't want to say he's a liability in the running game, but when he gets in front of defenders, he'll fight. He's not great, but he can do it. He's a very interesting prospect as far as fantasy goes. I think he's going to be discussed in that late second round, early third round, depending on where that draft capital falls. Kind of a guy that I kind of can see him tailing as far as the rookie output is similar to Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett was a third round pick at 23 years old, ran a 4.4. He entered the NFL running 65% of his snaps in the slot. Lockett finished third on his team in receptions and receiving yards behind Doug Baldwin. I think that I fully expect Roman Wilson to make the leap to the NFL. He had a great game in 2021 against Joey Porter Jr., caught two touchdowns on three receptions against him while at Penn State. Roman Wilson's a guy that shot directly up this board for me when I was ranking these receivers. And I think 18% of receptions this year, 50% of the team's touchdowns, 25% of the team's receiving yards. I'd like to know what you think about Roman Wilson because I don't feel like I'm over my skis on this Amon-Ra St. Brown light thing. But again, there's just really not a ton of output to kind of measure him with in terms of, you know, these Amon-Ra was a junior. So was Jackson Smith and Jigba. This guy's a senior. He's not the same. He doesn't have the same breakout, things of that nature. I'd like to know what you think about him.
You know, mine when I first, and I know he's kind of been like, he's been sort of in focus lately with the kind of this surge with the Packers over the course of the last few games. But like, I thought of Bo Melton, and maybe it's just cause Bo Melton was a dude who I really liked. And I'm looking back right now and it makes sense because Bo Melton, when he came out, now he came out as a redshirt senior, but he was, I mean, you think that Roman Wilson is going to run fast. And you were saying what he was 10.68.
Yeah. I have him down for a 4.43 projected.
Okay. So he's not as fast as Melton ran the
4.3s. Yeah.
But whenever I looked at my play, I'm looking back at my play style comps from the 2022 draft, and my first play style comp for Bo Melton was Amon-Ra St. Brown. So it's like, I mean, I'm kind of like, I see those dudes as being, you know, I see those dudes as far as their college profiles being pretty similar. To me, that the way he moves after catch, I don't know if you noticed just his first, his first step up field after he catches the football, the way he frames the, what Amon-Ra St. Brown does, what Bo Melton does, what Roman Wilson does is they frame the football in a way to, and it, I hope you can understand this if I'm on the podcast, but they frame the football in a way to where they catch the football in spots to where they see it in and they address it in a way to where the football takes them upfield. And it's just like, it's a natural thing that comes as naturally as can be to these guys who are these awesome volume kind of possession receiver pluses. It's a trait that speaks not only to their framing and their hands ability and stuff, but also to their just general open field vision, their creativity and their ability to create after catch. So those were, I said another guy who kind of does that, hasn't been very good is, but who we really saw that one trait from out of him as a prospect was out of KJ Osborne. These are kind of, you know, it's a wide range of guys, right? You're talking about KJ Osborne to Bo Melton to Amon-Ra St. Brown Light to, you even said JSN Light. These are all players that had, you know, their play style comps. It's pretty much the same. And all these dudes are what, 5'11", 190 or 185 to 195. So I think you're looking at that kind of player, and he's exciting to me. He could end up being one of the dudes who's kind of more on the top of that list. So let me just ask you a couple things. So as far as let's talk about McCaffrey, and I'm going to ask you how you feel about him compared to some other guys from in the past. Okay.
Let's get it.
All right. McCaffrey versus KJ Hill from Ohio State.
McCaffrey.
Okay. McCaffrey or James Prochet from SMU?
Prochet.
Okay. McCaffrey or let me see if I could throw one at you here. How about this one? McCaffrey or Ben Skowronek? Skowronek is 10 pounds heavier.
Yeah. I think McCaffrey. I know I don't have him highly ranked, but Skowronek is a one type for me. I think McCaffrey he's got a lot to grow. And he might not end up as high in my rankings as I'd like him to be, but I think that if you could put like a developmental star on a guy, and I think I would rather have McCaffrey.
McCaffrey or Kevin Austin Jr. from Notre Dame.
Oh. Well, he had like 8 touchdowns that year, I remember. Honestly, probably Kevin Austin at the time.
One more. Let me see. McCaffrey's what, 6'1", 6'2", right?
6'2", yeah, 200.
As a prospect, McCaffrey or Puka Nacua?
Though this is tough because I didn't love Puka after the Senior Bowl, but before the Senior Bowl, the tape, just tape alone, I would have had Puka ahead of him. Yeah. Tape alone, I would have had Puka ahead of him, and then I just didn't love the Senior Bowl and the testing. So, film, I would have taken Puka. Overall, I think what I ended up with, I probably would end up with McCaffrey higher.
Okay.
Horrible to even think about.
Rosemi Jack Saint or Tyler Johnson from Minnesota?
Tyler Johnson, yeah.
Rosemi Jack Saint.
We got on that one so bad.
I didn't get got by a dang thing. I'm looking at that right. I'm looking at my 2020 rankings right now. We had Tyler Johnson ranked number 25 overall behind Donovan Peoples-Jones, James Prochet, Colin Johnson, Van Jefferson, Devin Duvernay, KJ Hamler, Chase Claypool. I mean, all these guys, and none of these guys were even turned out that good, but like there's still better than Tyler Johnson. let's see. Rosemie Jack Saint, or what is he? 195.
Yep, 6'2", 195.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say Dez Fitzpatrick, but all right. What about him or Dez Fitzpatrick?
Fitzpatrick.
Rosemie Jack Saint, or. Well, I know what you're going to choose there. Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah, Tolbert.
Rosemie Jackson or Eric Ezukonma?
Jack Saint. I got to go Jack Saint there. There was not a lot with Ezukonma I didn't like that I did like.
How tall is Roman Wilson again?
6'1", 192.
Do you know another guy who's in that kind of boat? Another one of those framer, get up field, fast guys is Charlie Jones. That's kind of another one, huh? Okay. So anyway, how about Rosemie and one more for Rosemie Jackson? Rosemie Jackson or Jason Brownlee?
It's gonna be really close. I think I would have went Brownlee. I think I had Brownlee higher last year.
Roman Wilson or Charlie Jones?
Roman Wilson by like a landslide.
Roman Wilson or none of these guys are gonna be intriguing to people from 2020. Roman Wilson or Kadarius Toney?
Roman Wilson.
Roman Wilson or Tylan Wallace?
Roman Wilson. I think I had Tylan like receiver. I want to say, what did you have in that class? I think I had him like 9 or 10 or something like that.
Tylan Wallace, 12.
Okay. Can I ask you one for Roman Wilson?
Yeah.
Dontavian Wicks.
Gosh, why can't take? I mean, gosh, I've seen what Wicks has been able to do. Man, we always talk about 2021 Dontavian Wicks, Virginia versus 2022 Dontavian Wicks, Virginia. So I'll take Dontavian Wicks 2021, but man, if we're talking Dontavian Wicks 2022, give me Roman Wilson every time.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.